Welcome to Home Education Matters, the weekly podcast supporting you on your home education journey. Hello and welcome to another episode of Home Education Matters. And today I am joined by my own children. And we are going to be talking about the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the good, the bad of home education, because we are pretty much, as most of you will know, we're pretty much at the end of our home education journey now. And my children are 16 and 17, and they've been home educated right from the start, which means that I feel that we have earned our badges, earned our stripes, got our medals. And we've seen it all. I feel like we've seen it all anyway. So I thought I would bring both my children on to talk about the ups and downs of home education, because who better to tell us about it than home educated children? So would you like to each introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about yourself? Xavi, you can go first.
Sure. So I'm Xavier, 17, doing my A-levels in the final like month and a half. Hopefully they will be finished soon. And then I'll be off to university in a year or so. As you said, I've been home educated since I was like 3 or 4, I think, like about that kind of age. Initially for more material reasons, but it has worked so well that we have stayed. And I think it's been a very good decision.
So before we move on to Carenza, Xavi, just as inspiration to some of our listeners who may have children, maybe just starting out in home education or maybe just starting out on their exam journey, which, as we know, we need a bit of motivation to get through. Why don't you tell our listeners what your plans are for the next year and for university?
Next year, I'm going to be enjoying Evo that summer. And then in the winter and autumn, and then spring, I'm going to be having a gap year or half a year or three quarters of a year in Southeast Asia, in Thailand, Vietnam, Indonesia, kind of area. Maybe doing some internship or volunteering, along with some backpacking. And then in September or October of next year, so 2025, I'll then be going to university doing some form of science, either some kind of engineering physics thing or marine science, ocean science, marine biology, whichever I decide eventually at the time.
Very nice. Nice plans. Okay. My wallet is emptying by the second. So Carenza, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Carenza, as you know by now, because she just said my name. And I'm 16. I'm in the run-up in the last few months for my final exams. And once my final exam is finished, then I'll be just having a bit of a rest for a couple of months, then going off volunteering at animal sanctuaries in places like Sri Lanka and maybe like Thailand, maybe just back home in England.
Very nice. If anyone listening would like to GoFundMe for the next year, that would be great. Yeah, please GoFund us. Okay, so that sounds a lot of fun. And it sounds to me, when we talk about it like this, it feels very much like we're looking ahead and looking to our next step, which is obviously sort of slightly beyond home education. Although, Carenza, I know you're going to carry on doing a little bit of college courses online. But for today, I really wanted to do a kind of retrospective. And so how about we think about, should we go for the negatives first? So how about we think of some of the downs or some of the lows of home educating, of our home education journey of the last 15 years or so? Okay, who would like to go first? Xavier, go for it.
I think it all is part of one broader issue, which is a difficulty in socializing easily with people of the same age and same interests and regularly and without much, and without any parents or adults to not interfere, but to join in, or to just be there. I think that all those combine to make it hard to find, to organize some sort of play date or meetup. And if they're organized, then nobody will arrive, or if they do arrive, then they just won't even talk to you, even if there's nobody else. They might be very nice, but then you just never talk to them again because they're busy, or you're busy, or both, or even if neither of them, or even if neither family is busy, then maybe you're too far away, or you just don't really like the same things, or it isn't regular enough. Like, and still, it would be, I assume, like 3 4 hours a day with the same people, like 5 days a week, like 40 or so weeks a year. It's much harder to do that, to have that kind of exposed contact with their children, all the same age, and from interests, if they're also home ed. And of course, because there aren't that many people that are, it also makes the sample size smaller from which you can meet. So I think that like every single all of the downsides that I can think of are to do with that one broader issue. I think that, yeah.
So for you, what you're saying is that that kind of enforced socialization that you get in school, where you're forced to hang out with the same people day after day without parents being there, has the bonus of the fact that it kind of creates a consistency and creates a social group which you're forced to interact with. And I'm guessing that some people listening whose children have gone to school and been taken out of school, perhaps for bullying reasons, for example, they may see this enforced socialization as like quite a negative, you know, because, oh no, you're forced to be with these people all the time. But from your perspective, it also has positives because it means that you're exposed to this social pool more consistently and day after day than you would be when you home educate, yeah.
Yeah, because there are positives in that you're forced to make friends, but if you don't make friends, or if many people are unbeknownst or bullying, then that is a huge downside that you can't avoid, and you don't really get bullying in internet, like not really at all, because partly because parents are closer, but also because if you don't like them, then you just don't have to go to that weekly meetup if they want to. You can't as easily just skip English class every other Thursday if you have to, if you don't want to do it.
Yeah, and you're right. So in the fact that it is voluntary, is that inherent opting out ability, you know, that you don't have to go, so you don't have the bullying, but you also don't have the enforced socializing. What do you think, Karenza? Have you had similar kind, would that be, what's your view when it comes to socializing?
In terms of socializing, I mean, it was harder when I was younger, but like when I've like since I've grown out more and branched out more, it's been a lot easier because now I have like online friends and in real life friends, and it's not like I would say it's not like the worst part of homeschooling, but it is like a big negative.
Do you think, Karenza, that when you were younger, it was easier in person in home ed because there were more groups and more consistency? Or do you think when you were younger, it was harder because you didn't have the online friends?
I think it was easier for me to like people as friends, but harder to keep up that c consistency with staying friends with them and meeting up with them, and if they liked me back or not, if they liked other people, more sort of if you like someone, but you don't really know them, or you don't really like arrange meetups, then it's very easy to lose track of them. Because I remember like this one girl who I really liked, but we only went like three meetups together, and then like that was it because he never went to any of the other ones.
Yeah, I remember really distinct times when I really liked one of the parents and I never saw them again. It was like, where did you go to? So I was thinking about what you were saying then about online friends, and then what Xavi was saying about this small pool that you get when you home educate. So would you say, Corinza, that for you, what happened when you went online was that you broadened your pool of social acquaintances out ex beyond the extent of UK home educators, for example?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all of the friends that I met online, they're not homeschooled because I never joined any like homeschool groups or anything. They're either like 20 plus or still in school.
So in that case, if for you, Corinza, socializing has been was an issue in home education, but maybe isn't an issue now because you find your friends online and then you meet up in real life. What would you say is your biggest downside, if you like, of home educating?
I think the negative connotations surrounding like home educating, and also like as an aside, the COVID-19 pandemic, it really didn't help with when like I say that I'm homeschooled, people are like, oh, so you have like online school, and I'm like, no, I'm home educated. I've just started saying home educated now, but I don't think that they really even get that as well. But yeah, I think like the negative connotations, because saying like, oh yeah, I don't go to school, it makes you sound very like illiterate and stupid, and you don't really like know anything or learn anything, obviously, because you're not in like the main or really like the only way of like education that most people think about or view. Because like when I say like yeah I don't go to school, I feel like people take that as I'm like I'm not educated, which of course I am educated. I'm very educated. I'm more educated than them, because the school system is appalling. I think that's probably the main downside to home education, is just the negative like connotations surrounding it.
Do you find yourself inclined to justify yourself or validate yourself in some way by sort of showing that you are educated or indicating that you're educated or like countering those negative connotations?
I think that for sure. I mean, I've never really had people say like, "Oh, so you're not really educated then," to me. But I have heard other people say it like I'm like say it in reference to her home educating, and does make me want to say like we actually, if we do it right, then we're just as good as you, and if the schools do it right, then you're just as good as us. Like it's really just on who teaches you.
Oh, I'll take that as a win.
You should.
Yay. Go me. Xavier, what about you? Have you found that there have been negative connotations when you have sort of, I don't know, introduced yourself as home educated or talked about being home educated? Or do you have a perception that the world sees you in a particular way because you are home educated?
Not really. Like, it would be only once have I actually met someone or talked to someone or felt from someone they thought that I was less clever for being home ed, and they'd ask me what 9 times 6 was.
What 9 times 6 was? Was that
Yeah.
their baseline test?
So then I
That's
asked
so
them
weird.
what so then I asked them what 12 times 13 was, because because not many people actually know that, and they'd know it. But other than that one case, no, I've only ever met, if I do meet school children, then they either don't find out, or they don't care, or they're home ed. And also, like, usually in Britain, from what I can tell, if people are home ed in Britain, then they usually are seen to be kind of doing it differently, Well, I think it's definitely a kind of perception for Americans that it is like crazy people teaching them their beliefs,
Yeah.
which is, as
Which
Tolman,
one?
a perception in Britain. Britain helps.
Yeah, you're right. And I think it's deeply unfair on the American homeschooling community, but I do think there is that perspective that if you homeschool in America, you're perhaps doing it for religious reasons or you're a radical unschooler. Whereas in the UK, I think people maybe think you're just a bit eccentric and maybe we are more accepting of eccentricity. I'm not 100% sure. Or maybe we're just too polite to be rude to each other about it, which is a maybe they're all thinking this stuff about us, but not saying it. The negative connotations I've tended to get from other people have been around the idea that I think they think that I'm judging their decision to put their child into a school, so they get quite defensive, and that then makes me feel like I have to make them feel better. So quite often I will then find myself criticizing my decision to home educate so they don't feel bad about their decision not to home educate. And I find as I've got older, I've engaged in that less and less, but I really did that to begin with because I really didn't want them to feel like I was sort of making a judgment about them. And so I ended up making a judgment about me. And then I thought, okay, I've got to stop doing this because this isn't helpful for anybody. And when it comes to socializing, I agree very much that I think that has been an issue. And I think from my perspective as a home educating parent, I think the journey as a home educator, unless you're lucky, I think the journey as a home educator can be quite lonely because you don't get that school gates kind of experience. I know that you two were briefly and very part-timely in a Montessori school. And I made a number of friends of the other mothers. Because you drop your children off and then you maybe go and have a coffee. Now, there really isn't anything like that. And although I have made really good home ed friends, it's something that has been harder to pursue and it's less easy to keep up those friendships, which I think was also something you said, Carenza, about just maintaining those friends. You see them and then they go again and you don't see them again. From my perspective, I think the biggest downside about home education has been. And I'm glad neither of you said this because I feel like it means I've shielded you a little bit from it. I think it's been the fact that I'm like the single point of failure education-wise. Everything channels through me. And I, particularly as we got into exams and the exam period and qualifications and things, I felt like if I drop the ball, it's a big ball I'm dropping, you know, like the exams ball. You don't want to drop the exams ball. And
Not
so I
exams,
think
but
that, yeah, and I think that for me, that has meant that home education went from this really rather fun, light and easy, you know, chill and breezy kind of thing to something that really felt quite channeled, like a lot of water being channeled through a little
high pressure.
inlet. Yeah, high pressure, exactly, high pressure. And I think that that's something that this summer, when you both finish your exams, I'm really looking forward to feeling a liberation from. And although you each have wonderful plans, as you get older, you're more able to take those on your own shoulders because there have been times over the last 5 years or so where it's felt quite heavy pressure on me as that single everything, like exams officer and teacher. And everything, and then of course all the parenting roles as well. So I think for me that's been the biggest downside, and that's just from a personal perspective. So we've got the three downsides that we have come up with are socializing and consistent and broad socializing, and then people's negative connotations or perceptions of who and what you might be because you're home educated, and then the fact that it can be a lot of pressure on the parent. Okay, so they're the bad things. So let's all think now about the biggest win or the biggest positive or the biggest high, the biggest up that we have for home educating.
I've
Karenza,
sorted
you can go first. Oh, you've thought of one already.
it.
Go for it then.
Yeah, I think definitely like the freedom of not having to go to bed early because you have school in the morning, or like not having your whole day taken up by school. And just kind of the like fluidity. If your mental health is down, or if your physical health is like down or low, then you can Like, especially when you're younger, you can definitely take days or weeks off like very easily. And newer exam season, it's harder, but it is still doable. And I do still do it, but I do still feel confident in my exam ability.
That's a good word.
Exam ability.
Exam ability.
Yeah, so I think probably just like the freedom of it, and you kind of get to make your own choices, but it's not like unschooling where you're just where most people who unschool their children or their child goes up to be kind of like spoiled and uneducated. Like if you do it wrong, then that will definitely want to then your child would turn out like that. But I think, I mean, it goes same for home education really, if you do that wrong as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's no doubt that if you do anything wrong, you're going to end up with a wrong result, right? If you do school wrong, if you do home ed wrong, if you do unschooling wrong. And I think for each of them, if you do them right, they're amazing. And if you do them wrong, then you end up sort of a bit lost. So for you, the big upside is the freedom and the fluidity, you know. So I always say freedom and flexibility. And so it's that sense that you can. You don't have to squeeze yourself into a routine, but the routine can flow with you, right? What about you, Zabi? Have you found that that is a positive?
It is a positive, but I think for me it's part of a bigger positive, but it is definitely helpful, kind of like being a self-employed in a way. You can choose how to prevent to work, how much to work, etc. For example, I don't have 2 days in a row for a day off. I find it's better to have the 2 days off like interspersed across the week to give me a constant break that doesn't take me out of the routine. But I think for me a bigger thing is time. I don't know whether it's just for me, but I find that I'm able to get through a school's content like a full GCSE or even an A level, but that's definitely harder in half the time that they take a short to do it. Many of my GCSEs, I think, took me like 1 year or a year and a half or something. And partly that was because I didn't do more than like 40 time, but still, I think that. But this was on like maybe 2 hours a day and then half a day plus infrequent tutoring with like an hour to a week. So that is a lot less time spent on it at school, where it is a lot. It is where it seems to be a lot less efficient at turning hours studied into one exam result.
So for Carenza, the freedom, she found freedom in the flexibility, and for you find freedom in the amount of time that you gain.
In how much? Yeah, because if I had to study 8 hours a day or 6 hours a day or something, then even now in the middle of A-level exam season, that still would be an increase. And yet I don't think if I was doing a school, I don't think it'd be that much more efficient. And again, I was doing GCSEs and like pre-GCSEs on an hour or two a day, maybe like 10, 11 hours a week. And that worked like really quite fine, at least for me doing what I was doing. I think that it gives you the opportunity to get as much done or more done without needing to spend X amount of hours a day doing things that aren't helpful. I think it is more efficient on time, but also the ability to choose to do an hour in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon, an hour at lunch, listen to a documentary over dinner, etc. Or to wake up especially early, but not to be able to go for an exam easily, or to just not, or to take a 3 or 4 week holiday, and have that, and to have it all factored in, like, and to not need to do anything difficult, to not need to have to not fall behind, because you can just work more around it, which you can't really do at school unless you stay behind and go beyond the syllabus over hours, like before holiday or after a holiday, then you would be behind and then you have to catch up while learning things that you can't stand. This way, the learning stays with you and it goes at your pace, whether that's fast or slow or infrequent or very frequent or whichever.
And I think in absolute agreement of what you're saying, I found that maybe not quite so much at the moment, but sort of like up to age around 12, 13, one thing I really liked was that we could go with the flow of our circumstances. So for example, if we found ourselves in a hot country where there was a swimming pool and lots of outdoor stuff, we could just drop our lessons down and do fewer lessons than usual and do more swimming stuff and outdoor stuff. And then maybe if we were in winter in England and it was all cold and grey and there wasn't much social stuff happening, we might do more lessons. And then other times, if we found ourselves with a nice group of friends going on and there were more play dates available, again, we could just drop our lessons down. So I liked that kind of sense of flow where you could shift how much work you do and how little work you do based on other stuff going on. So you didn't always have to do, like you say, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, Monday to Friday.
Which seems both inflexible but also inefficient and also kind of exhausting to do, like, because that's basically a job. And yet, for the benefits of it, I don't see much other than best socializing, which, Britain said, is very hit and miss.
Well, I've got a question for you then, because one of the arguments against home education that I hear a lot is that school prepares you for work. And there's no doubt that what you're describing, which is that, you don't have to just do this 40-hour week, Monday to Friday, that you can work when you want and be more efficient. Now, how's that going to equate to when you get a job and you have to show up Monday to Friday, 40 days a week? Although I have to say, to kind of answer my own question, that has changed a lot since the pandemic. I mean, there is a lot more flexible working, but realistically, most jobs are still a certain amount of showing up on time and doing your workload within the hours they set you. So how do you feel you're going to adapt to that as a move when you got so used to the freedom and flexibility of home ed?
I think it's quite natural. I think it is a quite natural progression. At age 5 and 10 and stuff, it was some light kind of fun lessons. And then after 10, then it would get more focused on constant questions and maybe even exams earlier and up in the work hours, and also doing and they're also doing X amount of hours per week and X amount per day. Then for GCSEs, it was very much I work until I finish my homework in the morning, and then that is be done the day. Then for A level, it is, well, it's changed. It used to be 2 hours and 3 hours and 4 hours a day in the mornings and then the afternoons. And then for university, it's going to be, I'm not entirely sure, but I don't think it would be quite as structured and quite as rigid as a job. But also, you will be having a part-time job, which will definitely help in it being more flexible. And then by the end of university, then you will have been slowly prepared without having to do that since like 11. Then you will have been slowly each year getting closer and closer to doing 40 hours a week.
So it's like incremental exposure. What do you
Plus,
think,
like,
Carenza?
as you mature more, you will definitely begin to have more well, like bigger workloads and also be more adapt to the responsibility. We were like adapt more to responsibility. So I think this, like, even if you don't go to school, you will still mature and like learn like how to like sit for like most of the day just in one place working.
So, Corinza, do you feel that in the future you will be able to adapt to the world, or do you feel that what you're taking into the world is an expectation that the world will adapt to you?
I think both. I mean, I think especially as we're progressing more with society, we are beginning to to adapt more to the workers that we have, especially like Gen Z, they will definitely be more adaptive to people's needs. And but also you do learn to kind of like adapt to society and the standards.
Yeah, I think you see these reels and things on Instagram and Facebook and things, and they tend to show the different generations, and they show Gen Z very much as this generation that is like, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing this. Nope, that's out of my remit. No, it's the end of my working day. And I think the point of them is to kind of make us think that Gen Z are, I don't even know what they're trying to say, but I
Like
think it's
lazy,
brilliant. I know. I
yeah.
feel like they want me to think negatively of the generation, but actually, I just think, oh my God, really wish I had these kind of really cool boundaries when it comes to work. And
Yeah,
I like to
for
think
sure.
that in the future, in the next 10 years, that when Gen Z come into the workplace much more, that we will be expecting the world to adapt more to us rather than adapting to the world.
I hope so, as it would be good if it could work. I think also that 5 years ago, I would have been like, at the moment, I'm not ready to do a 40-hour job, but 5 years ago, I'd have been very unready. And 5 years before that, I'd have been very, very unready. And by the time that, and by the time that I am like 20, I think I'll be pretty close to ready. And then when I start doing it, then I'll be ready. I think that over time, I will get closer. It is because it is the natural way to organize your work to do a certain amount of hours in some amount of time. And as there is more work to do, as you get older, it becomes more and more important to do it effectively. And that kind of lends to like 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon, 4 days a week, 5 days a week, etc. Yeah.
And this leads me on to another positive, although this isn't my positive, but I'm just going to tack this one in, is that I think that being home educated and being partly responsible or wholly responsible for your workload and organizing your time, I think it builds up these skills so that maybe you're not exposed to the going into school at 8:45, leaving at 4:15 Monday to Friday. So you don't maybe build up that kind of work skill. You do, however, build up the ability to organize your time and organize your workload, which you don't get when you're in school, because obviously that's all done for you. And Carenza, I know that you've sort of been working through that process of becoming more autonomous and more scheduling your workload and scheduling your time. And how have you found that move?
Yeah, I mean it's been very like gradual, which is good. It wasn't just like 3 days a week, maybe like 10 minutes of work, and then next week like 7 hours of work each day. Like it's definitely gradual, and I'm definitely like increasing the workload when I feel ready and comfortable for it. And I'm not like pushing myself or like burning myself out or anything. It's just very gradual and within my own pace, which probably is a little bit below what I should be doing, but I do feel confident like in my exams and my ability.
It's a balance, isn't it? And it's a balance between making sure you're exam ready, or whatever that wonderful whatever that wonderful word was used,
Exam ability.
exam ability, making sure your exam ability is high, but also making sure that you're resonant with your own values and not like still doing the things that matter to you that aren't exam focused, because otherwise you can get really very exam heavy. So far we've had the positive of flexibility and fluidity that comes from home education, the positive of the time and the efficiency that you can input into your own life from being home educated. And I also added in a little one about the taking control of your workload and being responsible for your time and organizing your time and your workload. But I think the big positive for me has been the exposure that we've had to each other, which sounds really mad, because one of the biggest arguments I hear When, or not even an argument, but the biggest retort that I've, the most common retort I've heard when I've said that I'm home educating is, oh my God, I could never do that. I would just get so sick of being with the children all the time. Oh, we would drive each other mad being in the same house all
Shouldn't be your
the
parents then?
time. And I've heard that a lot, you know, a lot. I
I
remember
have some
very
very strong
distinctly.
opinions on that.
I shall get to you in a moment then. I remember very distinctly when I think you two were around about 10 or 11 years old, and I mentioned to this guy, we're at a B&B, and he said, no school, no school tomorrow. And I said, oh no, home educate. And he said, oh my God, the best thing about having children, he said, was when they left home. And I thought, that is the saddest thing I've ever heard in my whole
Really
life.
bad.
Why?
But
But it's not
not
why?
uncommon, you know, and like people say, oh, it's the school holidays, oh no, and then hurrah, it's the end of the school holidays. And it always makes me sad because for me, I think the biggest positive has been the amount of time that we have all had to spend with each other. So that now, for example, you're at the stage where you're going to be leaving home and doing your own thing. I can't, there's no point that I look back and think, oh, I didn't maximize our time together. I didn't get enough time with you know, like regretting not spending enough time or not being together enough, because we were together pretty much the whole time. So for me, I think it's like flipping that negative you hear from other people and actually seeing that as the biggest positive, that we got to spend all this time together and that through that we built up a really good relationship and a good understanding of each other, because we've been there throughout every single stage and being exposed to every kind of nuance and mood and scenario that you could think of, because none of them were played out elsewhere. They were all played out in the home. So Karenza, you said that you have strong opinions on people who don't want to parent their children.
Yes,
So
I
tell me
will
about
try
that.
and lighten this. But like as an intro, in this program that we're watching, there's this guy whose father left him, and then he grew up with like a bad childhood and bad teenage years and everything because of that. And then his father came back when he was finally quote unquote worth something. And he was actually like in front of crowds performing and, yeah, just like quote unquote worth something to his father. And he came back, which I have very strong opinions about.
I know
I,
exactly what you're
yeah,
referring to. You're referring to Ninja Warrior.
I am referring to that one guy.
And I agree, because they say something along the lines of he was estranged from his father, who basically walked out on the family home, didn't want anything to do with the son, and the son went off the rails, and now he's a ninja warrior. And there the father is back again in the audience. And they say things like, oh, and I'm sure he's, you know, hoping that his dad is really proud of him. And I always want to shout, no, why should he? Why should he want his father to be proud of
Yeah,
him?
for sure.
So,
And like, I just like, I know a lot of people have been saying this for many years now, but we do need some sort of like parent test or parent confirmation. Just before someone becomes a parent, we need to check whether they're actually fit to be a parent. So I've heard like horrible stories of people like parents leaving their babies in the oven and then turning the oven on,
who
mistaking
puts
them
a
for like a
baby in the
cat.
oven and accidentally
Who
leaves them in the oven? I
knows?
mean, who even
It was
puts them in the
definitely not an accident. So like they do not deserve to be parents. And a lot of people like people who leave their families, or parents who abuse their children or quote unquote discipline them by like spanking them or using the belt or the shoe or anything, they should not be parents. And I'm very adamant on this. They should not be parents, because that's just abuse. That's just straight up abuse. And if you're like abusing your child, you shouldn't be a parent. And there should be some sort of test, like at least a very minor test, just to like say, you're not legally allowed to have children, and if you do have them, then we will take them away from you.
That sounds like it would be a difficult test to administer, but
It
it does lead
would,
me
but
to a question I'd like to ask you, which is that Something that gets touted around a lot is the idea of a register for home educators. So the government wanting everybody on a list. So, and part of the reason is safeguarding, in inverted commas, because the idea that when you home educate, your child maybe isn't going into a school every day, and therefore teachers aren't able to see a child every day. So they're not able to assess if there's any kind of safeguarding issues. And as you were saying that, it occurred to me that perhaps then most home educators are very much against this idea of a register, because as far as we're concerned, we're just parents. And if parents aren't on a register, why on earth should home educating parents be on a register? But I'm guessing for you may actually find that more of an appealing idea, that you actually need to be registered and almost kind of validated to say, yes, okay, you can home educate.
I do think that it's not like the best, but it is certainly something. I do think that there needs, like, I don't know how one would go about this correctly. There should be some sort of like welfare check for children every maybe year or so. I
For
don't know
all
how this would
children.
come about. For all children, it would be a surprise, and like someone would just like turn up at your door and be like, "Hey, I'm here to check on your kids." But I really don't know how that would be regulated, or how that would be a thing. Because I know that I wouldn't want someone turning up at my door every year and being like, "Yay, are you like are your kids okay?" Because like, yeah, I know I'm okay, but then again, people who abuse and like abuse kids, they would really want that. But then I feel like the like abusive parents would just get craftier and beat their kids more to tell them that they shouldn't say anything to the people, to the welfare people, and it would just become a whole spiral. So it's good in theory, but it really wouldn't work in practice, I think. But we do need something to something like that.
What do you think, Xavi?
I think that to kind of go back to, I think that to cover the whole topic, I think that it's definitely a huge bonus that we have been able to spend so much time as a unit. It is all the three of us, 99% of our lives, probably more than that. I think that it is a really big bonus, but I also think that just like with schools, forced company can be very helpful, but it also could be bad. A different family, the different work, better work together, they could have a really negative experience, and you can't just leave home at 5, even more than you can't just go to school at 5. And you'd be having all of your time home, and you can leave. So some people, school might be a way to escape from a bad family. So I think it's something to consider that the forced unity of the three of us might not always be a good thing.
It's a little
And
bit like
then equally,
Goldilocks, isn't it? Is it like Goldilocks where, oh, I can't, it's a one of those fairy tales where they say when it's good, it's very, very good, but when it's bad, it's horrid.
yeah,
that
that would be
it kind
Goldilocks.
I think it's more that there are two. Well, there is also, of course, the majority case where the family is, it works, but isn't amazing or bad. But it's definitely a possibility of streams of greatness and of not greatness by family having to be together. And in that way, I think that, and then to go on to parenting tests and stuff, I think there are definitely some issues in practice, and I don't know about the theory. So I think it will require a lot of popularity. But I do think that there is definitely issues of like abuse and things like that, both in school and at home and at homeschool and in both. And I don't think that the problem is you need to homeschool then.
Yeah, and I think what's coming through is very much the idea that when it's done well, it's like it's the positives are positive, but that those positives could be flipped to a negative
Yeah,
if it's done
because
badly.
close to what you were saying earlier about you being the linchpin behind everything and behind our entire education, pretty much, because you did so well, it's worked very, very well. But if it had gone badly, then there is no alternative, and there is definitely a high risk in the sense that if it went badly, then it would be very, very badly, because then you wouldn't have any publications and you wouldn't really have a way to do it. So I think that is definitely a risk as well.
Yeah, and again, I will take that for the win. Thank you very much. So, is there anything, we've done the negatives, we've done the positives. Is there anything as a kind of final thought that you would like to say about your home education journey or about being home educated or anything at all like that?
There is like one small thing to say, which is that when I'm doing my studying and revision, just like watching YouTube videos on like biology or something. Once I finish the video and I look at the comments, I see like the top three comments are like always, thank you for this. My course has been 2 weeks and I've understood nothing, but this like 10-minute video helped me understand everything.
Yeah, well,
And
they
like
say things
that,
like, if only my teacher explained it like this.
yeah, for sure. And I think that that kind of puts into perspective, even though school can be like a safe place for children and it can be a anti-safe space, a negative place for children, it doesn't seem to do any work. Like it doesn't seem to educate children properly, especially with the internet. And like I am a grammar nerd, but like it's really not that hard to remember grammar, and I blame schools and the internet purely for this.
Well, you're dyslexic, so if your grammar and spelling is good and you're correcting other people, that's probably a win for home education. What about you,
Yeah, for
Zavi?
sure.
Do you have anything you would like to say to final thoughts on home education?
On similar notes, I think that I also see those comments when I'm looking at like how particle is able to work and stuff like that. And it is usually this has helped me a lot, in that same sense, just seeing this, just the actual experiment, seeing it in practice can really help. And I think that straws can work really well for some students. I think for others, it doesn't work. And I think that that is an issue. I believe it has got better in the last like 10 years or so, but I don't think it is at all good for people that don't think and act and work as the school is expecting them to. And I think that if you don't, then I think it makes it a lot harder to learn and struggle because they aren't teaching you how makes sense for you, just how it's the easiest and cheapest for them.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that you look at the comments that say things like, oh, you know, like this now makes perfect sense. And it's like, you've been studying this at school for 10 years. This is crazy. I'm gonna finish with one of my favorite memories. Just what, like, no, okay, two of my favorite memories from home education. And while I'm doing that, I'm gonna give you both time to see if you can think of your favorite kind of encapsulating moment from home education. So here are my two. My first one is that Xavier, when you were having lessons with priority learning, I think they were called, and you entered a competition, a Christmas competition, and you made a, well, together between the two of it. Well, I made the cake and you did all the icing and you did the periodic table on the icing and you did all the elements and all the numbers. And yeah, such a nerd in a great way, in a great way. Nerds rule the world. And you entered the competition and you won the competition. And for your prize, I think you're about 12 or 13, for your prize, you said, he was like, what would you like as your prize? And you said, I would like an hour's lesson on astrophysics, please.
Wasn't that
Nerd.
electron showers?
Nerd.
Absolutely, I loved it. And then my second favorite memory, or my unequal favorite memory, was that we were in Thailand, and because we world schooled, so we were all over the place, and we were in Thailand, and there was a very beautiful swimming pool. And I decided I wanted to teach you or improve your swimming because you could both already swim. I wanted to improve your swimming, and I went on YouTube and I found an Australian channel that could improve your stroke. And we went to the pool every morning for about a week. And I worked through the techniques I found on this Australian YouTube video. And you both really ended up with really perfect front crawl and breathing and all that stuff. And I remember thinking at the time, this is just amazing. Like, it's an amazing skill. And also, it's just amazing that I've been able to come to Thailand, use an Australian video with British children and learn to swim. And I just thought that just encapsulates home.
I remember that. That's like a core memory for me.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so have each of you managed to think of a moment or a memory that encapsulates home education for you?
I have. I don't remember the name of the website, so give me a second. Prodigy Maths. I think Prodigy Maths, that was like a very cool memory from my childhood. Not just memory, but like a very cool structure of my childhood. Because like school children, like they wouldn't really have time to do that and they wouldn't really want to do that. But it really did help with my math. Like, let me explain. It was basically, it was kind of like a sort of, it was like in like animated, like RPG action game type of thing. Where you would like go on quests and defeat monsters and stuff. And the game was designed for children. To battle the monsters, you had to solve equations or solve maths problems or do long division or just anything like that. And even though it wasn't particularly like the maths that was the core learning, it was just the entire adventure and experience of it. And I wish they would make that into a game where it's not maths based as well, because I really do want to play it.
That's a really, well, you can always just play it. It's interesting you say that, because there was a reason you actually only played Prodigy Maths really briefly. Savvy, you played it for about 2 months and then you ended up having a kind of weird meltdown afterwards where you shouted something along the lines of, and you're not much given to shouting, you shouted something along the lines of, I want to play it all the time and I never want to play it again. And I think between the two of us, we were like, yeah, let's not play that again. And so you stepped away from it, Savvy. And Corinzi, you stayed on a little bit longer, about another 6 months. And this is going to sound like a classic parenting fail after you've now said that. So I hope it doesn't sound like that. But I think I decided that ultimately the amount of time you spent, I think I actually remember I sat next to you. And I sat with you and you played an hour of Prodigy Maths and you answered 3 maths questions in that time. Things like 4 times 7 or something. And I remember thinking, this is a bonkers use of time.
That could happen, yes.
So I think in the end, we sort of slightly stepped away because it was really time heavy for the amount of academic learning. But it's really interesting that for you, that was such an encapsulation of home education, perhaps because of the gamification of learning there, because you realized that you could enjoy the learning, or at least enjoy what was going on around the learning as part of the learning, which is so different in lots of ways to the traditional way of learning. Zavi, tell us your encapsulating memory or moment, if you have one.
I don't think this is necessarily like the most representative of memory, but I do recall one time you really said that we didn't much enjoy doing lessons, or it wasn't, we didn't much enjoy going into the lesson room. So then you, I think that we then did a kind of fun art project style, like a kind of history of art. And they think that we painted in the style of the artist and stuff like that. It wasn't particularly anything amazing.
I remember
but
that.
I remembered. And it was remembered. Italy was something different too.
Yeah.
You know, something worth memorizing.
Yeah, I remember we were in Bahrain one time and we were doing a lesson on Kandinsky. And we were eating blinis and we were listening to Tchaikovsky and we were doing a whole kind of Russian thing. And I remember really distinctly thinking, though, this is joyous. This is like joyous home education. All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you. I feel like we've really had a very nice, actually, it feels very cathartic to have had this podcast. And I'm really glad we did it, because it feels, I felt this ending of home education coming this summer in a really positive way for me. It's been something that I've been kind of looking forward to. And but also there's elements of it that I'm I feel a little bit like shedding an uncomfortable skin, and that doesn't, I don't like that feeling. So I would much rather have this kind of sense of open retrospective and able to look at the highs and the lows. And I think so often when you make a choice that goes against the norm, like home educating, you can really feel that you have to kind of own your choice in such a way that you don't feel able to talk about the negatives freely. And I think the home education community really gatekeeps home education because it really doesn't want other people to. Other people are critical enough without us criticizing ourselves. But I think that sometimes that slightly, I don't want to use the word gaslights, but it's, you know, it slightly negates people's lived realities of home education. And so I think I wanted this episode just to shine a light on some of those difficult times, but primarily focus on all of the amazing things that you get from it. And after 15 years or so, as you say, Xavier, of home educating and the three of us being there through the highs and the lows and the ups and the downs. I think as we are now moving on to this new stage of our lives, it feels very retrospectively cleansing to look back and sort of look at all those pluses and minuses.
I have an idea for the name of this podcast for like
Yes,
this
please.
specific episode, The Truths of Home Education.
I love that.
It's
Thank you. I always struggle
a
to think of
banger.
names for the
You're
episodes.
welcome.
I
Just
love that.
like
Thank
come
you.
to me about it. It's fine. I'm very creative.
I think that also that the positives and negatives are not at all, I don't think they are at all universal. I think it depends on number of children, the parents, the location, the style. I think it can be done. Not only that, it can be done really badly, but I think also sometimes it just wouldn't work. And I think that for us it has, but I don't think it means it's necessarily better or worse. I don't think it can be better or worse. I don't think it can be compared unless we abstract everything to be meaningless and we make it into perspective, which I would try to do.
I think that you're absolutely right. And I think that there's that famous phrase about Hinduism, which is that there's as many versions of Hinduism as there are towns
As
in
many
India.
gods, or I think it is like there are as many manifestations or gods as there are people with belief in it, because it's more a representation of who you are, I think, or something like that.
I think that home education, all we can do is represent our home education journey, and that we are not representative of home education. We're representative of our home education experience. And you're absolutely right that for us talking about positives like freedom, time management, relationship may look very, very different for somebody with many more children or with fewer children or you know, in different
With our
life
finances
experiences,
to go to Thailand,
different.
or our finances to go to Thailand, for example,
Different
or
finances,
or
exactly.
no
And
children, like it is regulated or
how
something.
would you home educate with no children, Kenza? You're going to home educate yourself.
home educate yourself.
I'm home educating me. Okay, so all we can do is offer our own representation of what our journey has been in home education. And obviously, we don't represent anyone else's journey, and what have been highs and lows for us very well might not be highs and lows for the next person. And family with more children or fewer children or different finances or different exposure to life experiences will have a completely different journey. And that's one thing I think that I've learned very much as a home educator is that there's no such thing as home education or being a home educator. We're all just unique examples of a very individual journey. So thank you so much, both of you, for coming on and for joining me in this retrospective on our home education journey. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's Home Education Matters podcast. See you at the next one. Have a lovely day.